ברוך אתה ה' אלוהינו מלך העולם שהכל נהיה בדברו. So, ברוך השם. I realized some points why everyone are jumping at us. You sometimes can feel a little bit from the homerim hedef,
from the coil.
Recoil of what that I'm going through. Kacha, you have some shocks, shakes a little bit here in the building, but Rav Shalom told me 2 days ago, until that I found one student that is glued to the purpose, that in his heart there is only one thing to distribute to Am Yisrael, and everyone are jumping at him and arguing with him and trying to stop him. So this is the reason. The reason is that once there was a group of students of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, of Rabbi Nachman in Breslev. Rabbeinu came to visit them in their city, and he asked them, what's going on? How are you doing? Said, fine, thank you, all good. Learning Torah, thinking about the dude, prepare the day, chatzot, everyone have parnasah. So he looked at them and said, so you say that your Yetzer is asleep? It's because that you are asleep. When you're going to wake up, your Yetzer are going to wake up against you. We said we're dedicating the shiur for the success of Rafael, Moshe, Yosef, Ben Batya, Yocheved. You're going to have a huge hatzlacha. Huge hatzlacha. Vesimcha. And now, what's the problem with us? That we're not ready to wake up alone. In the minute that we're waking up, we're waking everyone up with our wake up. Call immediately. You woke up and then you call all of your friends and all of the people, and now we have WhatsApp group, and this is it. So what's going to be? Yetzirah cannot stand it. But the truth is that Yetzirah also don't have no control on us. Why? Because Rabbeinu already changed his name. Rabbeinu called him Koach HaMedame, power of imagination. He can just tell you, I'm here, I'm going to do this to you, I'm going to do that to you, I'm going to stop you, you're not going to succeed, you're going to fail. This is what that he's able to do. To touch you with the smallest finger, he cannot. Because you're in the hands of Hashem. Hashem gave the Yetzer Hara permission to do his job. What's his job? To try to move you from the free choice. To tilt your choice from choosing life to choose death. So he tells you, don't choose life, choose death, don't choose Torah, choose sadness, don't choose it by the dude, choose depression, choose beer, choose alcohol, choose drugs, choose to run away from Eretz Israel. Don't choose holiness. Because he tells you, in Eretz Israel you're not going to learn. Why? I just need to breathe in Eretz Israel, and the air of Eretz Israel makes you wiser. So why I cannot learn? Here I'm learning. No, but he's going to tell you, but they're going to kick you out from the yeshiva. Thousands of yeshivot, and I can learn in my house. No, but you won't have shalom bayit. But me and my wife, Baruch Hashem, we learn how to talk. Everything is okay. No, but you don't know what you're going to do then, and you won't have parnasah, and your parents, they're not going to support you, and your friends, they're going to leave. All of those are imaginations. Just to shake your stability, to shake your faith. This is why every person, if he holds the tzaddik, the righteous man, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, to hold him, and to follow all of his advice, to go daily to the field. And in the field, everything gonna be clarified for you. When you go and talk to Hashem Yitbarach and say, Ribono Shel Olam, what's gonna be with my parnasa? Hashem reminds you, what happened until today with the parnasa? You lost thousands and thousands and thousands, or hundreds of thousands of dollars until today, and you still have parnasa? You weren't so righteous and pure, and you weren't so attached to the righteous people and the rabbis, and still, Baruch Hashem, you had parnasa. You remember yourself hungry? You remember that you haven't paid yourself your debts? And Baruch Hashem, You manage, alright, but you had difficulties. So what? So you're going to have more difficulties, but so what? It doesn't mean that you're going to fail, that you're going to lose everything, that you have to fall to despair, to sadness, to all of those imaginations. All of those are claims of claims that are empty. Doesn't have false claims. Yes. .com. we need to spread ourselves everywhere. Write it down. It's all imaginations. It's all imaginations. What is true? Hashem is true. Moshe, the righteous man, is true. He never lies. And the Torah that he gave us, it's true. And this is it. This is it. The fact that I have a soul and I have an inner connection to the Creator, this is a real thing. On that I'm leaning, on that I'm counting. On that I'm establishing myself, and I'm planning for the future to do more things. Why? Because I really have a connection with Hashem. And that is something that no one can take from me. And even if they're going to tell me, you're not going to have, you're not going to succeed. Who tells? Are you the Creator? Are you the Creator? You're the Creator that you can tell me that I'm not going to succeed. Who are you to tell me? Maybe you are not going to complete your next sentence. How do you know? How do you know? How do you know? Where do you have that confidence? Out of lie. And they're coming like storm in waves. Now, this, now, have to choose in stress. The enemy, belachatz oyev, comes in stress. Decide, today, are you staying? Are you going? Are you leaving? You're going to play? You plan to stay? You plan to leave? What are you doing? What's not? Why? Why? I can have quiet life. I can think. I have a friend that he is a businessman. He told me there is only one answer that you can give to a person that comes to convince you in something that he cannot answer back. He cannot talk back. What? Tell him, let me think about it. This is an answer that he cannot tell you, don't think. If you tell him it's too expensive, he can make you discounts, he can explain to you how, no, it's very worth it for you, you have to do it. He's got what to say, he got what to claim. You tell him, no, I don't want, he can tell you, listen, but you don't understand me, and he's got tons of information to wash you with information. But if you tell him, I got you, let me think about it. He's going, this is it, he's out of your store. He cannot talk to you anymore. Yetzirah tells you, you have to move, you have to leave the country, no, don't make aliyah, how you have to decide, you have to get married today, you have to learn, alright. Let me think about it. I'm going to go and do it, but I do it on it. Thank you. I have to have a good it, but I do it on it. You are right. You're right. I have to come to decisions. But I will not going to do it until I'm going to have Yeshuva Dat. My Yeshuva Dat is coming in the field. When I'm standing alone with Hashem Yitbarach, and I'm cashing, I'm changing, changing the money for small coins. Hashem, I have a lot of stress. I feel like I have to come to decisions. Maybe it's not true. Maybe something else. What do you want to tell me? What are you telling me in all of that stress, in all of that rebuke? What do you want from me, Hashem? When you talk to Hashem, all of the stress is going like clouds, like it was, you realize it was imagination. You don't need to come to no decision. And Hashem Yitbarach, He loved you before you started your tshuva process, and the fact that you can see it is that you're in a tshuva process and you were far away before. And Hashem chose you, and Hashem woke you up when you were there. You were sinning, breaking Shabbos, violating all rules of the Torah, and Hashem was sending tons of light to the darkest places of them all. We have students all over the world. We have students in Alaska. We have students in Ukraine. We have students in Jacksonville. We have students everywhere. In England, in France, in everywhere. In Canada, all over the world we have students. We have students in Arabia Saudite. Yes, in Iraq. We have students over there. People that are following and saying Yishar Koach and don't tell the government that we're sending those mails. but it exists. It's alive. People are with us all over the world. Why? Like we said last week. Because it's the truth.
And the truth is a witness for itself that you have the power to wake up. There is a battle between two sources of power. One is the power of light and one is the power of darkness. The power of darkness doesn't have real power. It's just a shade. He's blocking the light. If the light just going to continue to illuminate, in the end, the block will fall. This is it. It doesn't have a power to stop you from the truth because he's a lie. And the lie doesn't have no legs. He's falling. The truth got the letters in Hebrew, when you write the letter, the word truth, every one of the letters have two legs. The Aleph got two legs. The Mem is very stable, got two legs. The Taf got two legs also. This is Emet, got two legs, standing in a very stable way. The Sheker, he does just have one, is not stable. The Shin is standing like that, it doesn't have a leg, it falls. The Kuf, he's got one leg, he's falling. The Resh is falling also. The Sheker is not standing. The lie is not standing. The truth is stable. Three tables with six legs. This is the truth. Six legs. The Torah is six on six. The holy tablet is six on six. The size of the Torah is six on six. The Torah is stable. It was a square. The tablets weren't flat. They were. It was a square. It was a block of stone. Six tfachim on six tfachim. Huge stone. Huge brick of stone. Big stone. Boulder. And carved from one side to the other. With what? With beams of light. You could see the other side. You could see the light. You look inside the letters and you see. And the letter Mem and Samech, that they have an inside, it was a stone, it was floating inside. It was carved from the sides, and the inner part of the Samech and the Mem was inside, standing in a miracle. What's the Samech and Mem? Why Samech and Mem? Samech and Mem is the name of the devil. It's the name of the devil, the Samech Mem. So why they were standing in miracles? Because he cannot stand! Because he cannot stand, because he's a lie! He cannot stand. And Hashem keeps him in a miracle. Because he doesn't have no existence. He cannot stand because he's a lie. But Hashem wants him to be there for the illusion, for the test of the free choice. That for that we came to this world. That we're going to choose Hashem. That we're going to choose Torah. That we're going to choose Tefillah. Against all of darkness. Against all odds, all chance. Because the lie looks so strong. But it does not exist. Does not exist. It's all an illusion. It's an illusion. Looks like you're not gonna succeed. But if Hashem gonna succeed, you're gonna decide that you're gonna succeed. You're gonna succeed. No one can argue with your success, with Hashem's success. No one can say a word. If Hashem says that you're gonna be alive, you're gonna live. Even after 17 days with no bread, with no water, starving and dying from thirst, 17 days in a closing wagon, in a train, on the way to Auschwitz, 70 people survived the camps even, after being in that wagon, cabin, for 17 days, 1-7. With no drink, a drop of water they haven't drank. 3 days you cannot live without water. 1 week you cannot live without food. Tell it to the tzaddikim that are fasting. Why? Moshe Rabbeinu, 40 days. You don't believe it? Why? Because it's a legend. Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a legend. It's a fake. It's a story from our childhood. Is it Grimm's brothers? It's what's the name? Achim Grimm? What? Is it Walt Disney, Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't eating for 120 days in a row. 40 days, and another 40 days, and another 40 days. Lechem lo achal, v'mayim lo shata. Why? Because it's a legend. That's the truth. Rabbeinu said they have such wisdoms that if I'm teaching them to the student can live without food and drink. He doesn't need it. A man is not alive only based on food, on bread, on water. You have a soul. If Hashem didn't took your soul gonna be here forever. When the Ari HaKadosh went with his student Rabbi Chaim Vital, there was a stone on the floor, on the ground. He kicked that stone. He told him, in that stone there's a soul that is waiting for 500 years that I'm going to come and take it out from the stone. 500 years, a soul in a stone. If Hashem wants to put the soul in a stone, it can be in a stone. It doesn't have to be in a body. Hashem decides. The Creator, He creates. He creates whatever He decides to create. The Creator got the power to decide if you're going to get married or not, and if yes, so when, and if not, so why, and if you're going to have your money, and how you're going to have your money, and where you're going to get it from, and where you're going to live, and how many floors, and how many meters, and how you're going to have a backyard or a porch, or you have Shalom Bayit, not having Shalom Bayit. Even faith you receive from Hashem. Even faith you receive from Hashem. You cannot take faith. You cannot decide, I'm going to believe in Hashem. Try that. Say, I will never going to be angry again. I will never going to be sad again. Pathetic joke. You don't have the power to do that. Only if you're going to beg daily to Hashem Yitzbarach to have a stable happiness, and when He's going to give it to you, you're going to have it. But until then, you're going to fail in anger, you're going to fail in sadness, you're going to fail in depressions, in being angry, in losing all of your faith, because you're not in your hands. And until you're going to come to that day of 100% humility, that you know it's all from Hashem, Hashem's going to show you that He can take it from you and can give it to you back. This is it. This is the story. If you're humble enough, means you humiliate yourself every day. You take yourself to the field every day. You convince yourself that Hashem is the Creator every day in the field. If you're doing that, Hashem doesn't need to shake your stability. Doesn't need to wake you up to believe in Him. You're a believer. This is it. You believe. But if you don't believe, and all day long you're thinking about chips and marshmallow, so what do you want? Hashem loves you. Hashem missed you. He have to call you. So He said, Chaim, and you didn't listen. He said, Chaim, and you didn't listen. He said, Chaim, and Baruch Hashem, you're waking up. You're waking up. Slowly, slowly you wake up. One day you wake up for an hour, second day you wake up for 2 hours, third day you wake up, Baruch Hashem, for 3 hours, and then you take 1 week vacation, and then Hashem needs to call you again. And this is how Hashem brings you back to function. Back to order. To live by the rules of the Torah. Rules of the Torah, first of all. Ve'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha u'b'chol me'odecha. You need to love Hashem. If you don't love Hashem, you don't have nothing, no connection to Him. You can be angry at Him, and to blame Him, and to be not satisfied from Him. You don't have connection with Him. Connection with Hashem is connection of love. Le'ahava et Hashem Elokecha. To love Hashem, that He's your God, that He leads you in life. Bechol levavcha, with all of your heart. Even if you have desires, bad desires, even with your lackings, even with your poverty, even with your downs, even with your sadnesses, even with your crazy thoughts, even with your fears, and you don't know what to do, with all of that, you should love Hashem. You should know it's Hashem. It's all coming from you, Hashem. You are the Creator, and you're doing it all for my good. You're doing it all for the good. Rav Shalom said an amazing story. He read it from the Gemara. We talked about it once. The Gemara tells about Rabbi Nachum Ish Gamzo. That Rabbi Nachum Ish Gamzo, he read it from the Masechet Pe'ah Talmud Yerushalmi, even though that it's written also in the Gemara in Talmud Bavli. Rabbi Nachum Ish Gamzo, he once went to the house of his father-in-law, and he took all of his treasures, all of his money, everything that he had, on the donkey and walking toward the house of his father-in-law. On the way, came to him a poor person. That poor person is coming to him, tells him, have the merit with me. He was a poor person, he was starving from death, he begged to receive something to eat. He told Rabbi Nachum Ish Gamzo, have the merit, give me something to eat. Nachum Ish Gamzo told him, alright, would love to give you. Went to the donkey, start to untie all of the sacks that he had over there, to open, to organize everything, found something, took it out, he turns over back to that poor person, he's lying dead on the floor. He died.
It took to Nachum Ish Gamzo too much time to bring that apple, to bring that slice of bread to that poor person. And he died. Nachum Ish Gamzo started to cry. And he lied on the body of that dead poor person. And he told him, my eyes that saw your eyes that you were begging for bread gonna lose their power of sight, power of vision, gonna lose them. And my hands that weren't untying the ropes fast enough to give you the food gonna be cut. And my legs that didn't run to... And all of the curses happened to him. He lost his eyes, he lost his hands, he lost his legs, and he was full boils. With shchin.
Boils.
What?
Boils.
Boils?
Mm-hmm.
Boils. After a while, Rabbi Akiva came to visit him. After 22 years. 22 years Rabbi Akiva was the Meshamesh, the helper of Rabbi Nachum Ish Gamzo, of Nachum Ish Gamzo. He came to his house and he sees him lying like that on the bed with no eyes, with no hands, with no legs, with
boils
all over his body, and flies are over there, and horrible sight. He's Rabbi Nachum Ish Gamzo! And Rabbi Akiva is screaming, Vaili! Oily, that I see you like that. Oily, oy vai. Nachum Ish Gamzo is saying to him, Oily, that I see you like that. What? What's the problem with Rabbi Akiva? He's healthy, strong. He just finished a sandwich in the cafeteria of the Beit Midrash. Just came to his Rebbe to help him. What's wrong with Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva asked him, are you cursing me? Are you cursing me? I'm healthy. Why you say that it's not good that I'm healthy? Are you cursing me? Nachum Ish Gamzo answered to him, are you afraid from suffering? You afraid to see me like that? You say, oyvei? You know in which level I'm holding? I'm happy. You crazy Rabbi Akiva, I'm happy. I'm happy. You afraid of suffering? You were my helper for 22 years and you haven't got it? That it's all for the good? That Gamzu letova? You say onvei on me? Oyvei on you? That you're still kicking suffering? That you cannot accept whatever you're going through in your life? That it's all from Hashem and it's all for the good? I'm crying on you that you're not holding my level. It's a huge rebuke to all of us. A person with no eyes, with no hands, with no legs. I cannot remember that word.
Boils.
With boils all over his body. And he's dancing in bed. Happy in bed. He doesn't care. He cannot put tefillin. He doesn't have shalom bayit. He doesn't have parnasah. He doesn't have nothing. He doesn't have nothing. He's got fleas. He's suffering crazy pain. He's about to die. He doesn't have no future in this world. And he is happy. And he's rebuking his student Rabbi Akiva. Vay on you, oy vey on you, that you keep on kicking the suffering. The suffering are bringing you to life in the world to come. Bringing you to faith. Bringing you to learn Torah. Bringing you to holiness. Bringing you to the purpose. Rabbeinu is writing, what's the reason that when a person feels pain, he closes his eyes? Same reason why a person in Kriyat Shema closes his eyes. Why? Because when your eyes are open, you cannot see the purpose that you've been created for, to serve that purpose. You cannot see it. There are people, there are cameras, there are books, there's future, there are a lot of imaginations. But when you close your eyes, you can see only Hashem. This is why in Kriyat Shema you need to focus on the purpose. In the time of suffering, when you've been injured, that you got some pain, immediately you close your eyes. Why you close your eyes? To look at the purpose. Why Hashem brought those suffering to you, that you're going to look at the purpose? That you're going to see that it's all Hashem. That it's all infinity. Everyone that's going to close his eyes, look! What you can see? Nothing or everything? It's all Hashem, infinity, endless. Hashem is there and nothing is there. No details, only one, only Hashem. In the beginning, when you're going to close your eyes, in the first time, you're going to see a lot of imaginations.
You're going to be afraid. You're going to be in stress. You don't know what's going on. What do I see? Do I see? Do I not see? You're going to have all of those crazy thoughts. After a while that you get used to that, to go with your eyes closed, you can see Hashem. Hashem is opening huge, huge flats in front of you. You can see the offering, the view, you can see everything. It's open. Endless. You can see Hashem. You can see Hashem. Inside you have a divine soul. You have Neshama Eloki that is part of God. Concentrate in that. You're going to see Hashem. Yechezkel HaNavi said, Vayireh Elokim. Rabbi Nathan said after him, he said that verse also. Vayireh Elokim. I can see God. When you can see God, when you don't care about chocolates, when you don't care about beer, when you don't care about women, when you don't care about houses, villas, cars, I don't know what, honor, respect, and not chas shalom to be disrespect, chas v'shalom. All kinds of imagination, it's all Hashem. Hashem calls you. Hashem is calling you. Hashem is calling you. Hashem is calling you. Answer. Answer to Him. Say, yes, Father. What can I do for you today? I'm going to wake up my morning today. I'm going to start my day. I'm going to continue. I'm going to make another step. I'm going to make another step. We have green light in our hands. What that we can achieve in this generation, no one could achieve in no other generation. Never. We're closer to the end, to the finish, to the finish line, to the end. We're close to the redemption of Am Yisrael. To the rebuilding of Beis HaMikdash. It's about to happen. When they asked the Chazon Ish 66 years ago, when the Medinat Israel, the state, was what?
Founded. Maybe we're going to lose it one day. It's better to lose it or to find it. Let's say, found it. Imagine it. Founded imaginations. I see that you're still in those imaginations. Okay, I'll talk to you about it in another time. But for now, when it just founded, so the Chazon Ish been asked, what's gonna be? Now that we received finally the land from the Creator, so it's been handed to the Tzionim, to people that are not keeping Shabbos, to people are violating rules of Kashrut, of Torah, of modesty, people that don't pray in Beit Knesset, people that are not putting tefillin, now they're going to lead the nation, Am Yisrael. So he said, it won't take a long time until it's going to come back to our hands, the Chazon Ish. So they asked him, what it means a long time? He said, even if it's going to take 50 years, it's not a long time. So 50 years passed, but it's not a long time. We need to know. If you see people are waking up, each and every one of us waking up, those are signs from the Creator, from Hashem Yitbarach, that the redemption is about to happen, already happening. Already happens now. Because how we woke up, what woke you up? Your tradition. No connection to tradition. What woke you up? An inner voice. It's not for me. It's not for me. That lifestyle is not for me. This is what it woke you up. You're standing in a discotheque, in a club, in a bar, in a restaurant, in a big meeting with a long table, with a suit, with a tie, with everything on you, golden watch, everything you had, and you felt emptiness. You said, it's not for me. It's not mine. I'm not belong here. I'm looking for something else in my life. I want spirituality. So once you ran to the sea, to the beach, and you were standing, and you were crying in front of the sunset, and you didn't know what to do, and who to talk to, and one other time you went to the forest, another time you drowned your sorrow with another bottle of J&B, I don't know what, whiskey, scotch, all of imaginations, and another time you went and you done whatever, but it all came from that emptiness from inside that you felt. I not belong to that place. It's not mine. It's not my home. It's not my family. It's not my behavior. I cannot lie anymore. I cannot fake anymore. I have to be a man of truth. Hashem is calling me.
My soul is calling me. My emotions are calling me. My inner truth is calling me. I cannot deny anymore. I have to admit. I have to stand up on my own, on myself, on what that I understand. I have to tell my father, Father, I'm sorry. I have to tell my mother, I'm sorry. You become to be from the Levites, from the Leviim, that they don't recognize the father, don't recognize the mother. Why they don't recognize them? Because Mila Hashem Elai. Who wants Hashem? Come over to me. Come to me. Mila Hashem Elai. They heard the voice of Moshe. Moshe called them. Mila Hashem Elai. This is it. No more parents, no more friends, no more dating, no more bars, no more alcohol, no more cocaine, no more nothing. Hashem is calling me. Mitzion. Mitzion from Jerusalem is calling me. Wake up. Come make Aliyah. Come to Jerusalem City. Come, put your hands on the Kotel HaMaravi on the Western Wall. Come. Feel the energy in the Western Wall. Can someone stand and not cry in the Western Wall? Someone can come to cross that place. I remember first time in my tshuva that I came to the Western Wall. I was standing over there. There was a friend with me. I told him, I wish you're going to be my friend. I don't know where is he. I told him, all of them, Baruch Hashem, collapsed. We need to go. Send the Emuna Channel
rescue team
to make a fatzah in those neighborhoods. We were standing over there. I told him, I feel I'm drowning. He tells me why. I told him, I don't know. I feel like there are tons of water here. We're standing in the Western Wall. I told him, I feel like water. I don't know. I felt like waters, waves of water. Strong energy moves. You stand over there and you shake. I remember in the first time, from that day and on, I came a lot to the Kotel HaMaravi. A lot. One time I was sitting with my back to the Western Wall. I didn't know that it's not allowed. Just like, it's halacha. You're not allowed to give your back to Sefer Torah, to the Western Wall. So, but I didn't know that. And I'm sitting and I feel like I'm doing something wrong. And I feel bad with myself. And then that thought crossed my mind. Maybe you're not allowed to sit with your back to the Western Wall. Maybe you need to face yourself to the wall. But my body was heavy. And I chose to stay like that. Less than 1 second, a person put his hand on my back and told me, it's not allowed to sit with your back to the Western Wall. I told him, thank you. Got it. If you're not listening to the voice inside, you're going to have voices from outside. If you listen to the voice inside, you don't need voices from outside to rebuke you. You can hear the voice of Hashem. How are you going to hear the voice of Hashem? If you go every day to a quiet place and just listen. And just observe, who am I? What Hashem is telling me to do? What's my purpose in life? What I should do? Thank you. Chazak u'baruch.
Thank you.